Thank you. So I'm Jing Ling from University of California at San Barbara, and I'm going to present a spectrum approach to recursive end-to-end distortion estimation for subpixel motion compensated video coding. This work was done together with Vinay and our advisor, Professor Ken Rose. So modern video coders employ the temporal, the motion compensated prediction to exploit the temporal redundancy and achieves very high compression efficiency. So a side effect is the vulnerability to channel distortion, like the packing losses, is exacerbated due to the so-called error propagation. So there are many error-resilient techniques, like multiple description, scalable video coding, or unequal error protection, etc. They are introduced to mitigate this effect of error propagation. And the basic principle of all of them is really to treat some coding efficiency for the transmission robustness. And so all of them critically rely on the ability to estimate the accurate end-to-end distortion, which is then incorporated in the redistortion framework to optimize such trade-off. So we introduced the concept of end-to-end distortion. But the formal definition are written at the above of these slides. So the basic idea is, let's say we use this F sub n superscript I to denote a pixel I in frame n. And this is the original value of this pixel. And we use F hat to denote the encoder's reconstruction, which is only after the lossy compression. And then we use F tilde to denote the decoder's reconstruction, which is subject to the packing losses and error consumption and higher error propagation. So the end-to-end distortion is really evaluating the difference from this decoder reconstruction between from this to its original value. So it really accounts for like the lossy compression, lossy channel, and consumment various aspects. But the problem is, we do the encoder, we do the encoding process at the encoder side, and this decoder's reconstruction is really unknown to the encoder due to the fact that packing loss is really a random event with respect to the encoder. So the recursive optimal per pixel estimate is a pretty well known approach to estimate such end-to-end distortion. The basic idea is, the end-to-end distortion of a pixel can be formulated as such. And by decomposing this into a three term, we see that it's really a linear combination of some the first and second moments of this decoder's reconstruction. And rho treats the decoder reconstruction of each pixel as a random variable, then recursively computes up to the second moments of the reconstructed pixels. And then given first and second moments of the decoder reconstruction, we can evaluate the expected end-to-end distortion at the encoder side, and which is then incorporated into the redistortion optimization framework. So the update recursion explicitly accounts for all the operations like coding and consumption and also the channel stochastics. Rope and extension and its various extensions have been successfully incorporated into various methods for error resilient coding. So here are some update equations of Rope. The basic idea is that given first and second moment of the reference pixel, we can always compute the first and second moments of the current pixel, and which then gives us the expected end-to-end distortion. So everything works fine, but there is a limitation. That is, Rope can only accurately compute the end-to-end distortion of each pixel that is predicted from a single pixel in the previously reconstructed frame. But many video algorithms like subpixel motion compensation reference multiple reconstructed pixels in the prior frame to predict a single pixel. And such prediction, usually in the term of, in the format of like linear combination, introduced the so-called cross-correlation issue. And it was quickly you realize at that time that an accurate estimation of all these cross-correlation terms will require an order of n squared additional computations and memory units, where this n will we use this big N to denote the total number of pixels in a frame. So this is really a practical limitation of such optimal end-to-end distortion estimator. A simple example to show how such cross-correlation term emerges into our update recursion. So let's consider a bilinear interpolation, Z, and it is really just the average of two reconstructed pixel X and Y. So now we need first and second moment of this interpolated pixel. For the first moment, it's fine. It's really just some linear combination of the first moment of the reconstructed pixel. But for the second moment, in addition to the second moments of the reconstructed pixel, there's an additional term, E of XY, which is the cross-correlation, and we don't have it in our buffer. So many prior approaches have been leveraged to sort of overcome this issue. One idea is, let's just approximate this cross-correlation by its maximum value, which is provided by the second moment of two marginal second moments. Or we can model, instead of doing the cross-correlation directly, we can model their correlation coefficient as a function of the distance, where the d sub xy is really the spatial distance between two pixels x and y. And this cross-correlation are modeled as exponentially decreasing with this distance. So in this work, we propose an alternative perspective in the transform domain. So we know that the mean square error is really conserved under the unitary transformation. And then we proposed a so-called spectrum coefficient-wise optimal recursive estimate. We call it score to calculate this end-to-end distortion in the transform domain. It provides a per transform coefficient estimate of the end-to-end distortion exactly like Loeb does per pixel. But it also involves the recursive computation of first and second moments of transform coefficients of ungrid blocks in a frame. So as I said, we mentioned here that it is really capable of accounting for various advanced coding operations that are recursive in the transform domain. But since we're in this work, we are exclusively focusing on providing more accurate end-to-end distortion for subpixel motion compensated coding. We just put it as an aside. So the basic idea, we have the original value of the transform coefficient n in block k in frame n, and its encoder reconstruction, once again, x hat, decoder reconstruction, x tilde. X tilde is a random variable with respect to the decoder, and the expected end-to-end distortion can be formulated as such. And we see this end-to-end distortion is really dependent on first and second moments of the transform coefficient. So for intra mode, the update recursion is pretty much the same as Rho. So what we did is, with probability 1 minus p, the packet that contains this transform coefficient or this block will arrive at the decoder. And once it's arrived, the decoder can reproduce exactly the same reconstruction as the encoder. So that's why we're using x hat, which is the encoder's reconstruction. And with probability p, this packet will be lost. And then the error concealment will be called. And we know that the concealed transform coefficient itself is really a random variable. So that's why we are using an expectation here to generate the first moment of this transform coefficient. And the same idea applies to second moment. A main complication arises in the intermode update recursion, where the motion reference block itself is not necessarily ungrid. In fact, it's pretty possible that this guy is off-grid. And note that we only have the first and second moments of transform coefficients of ungrid blocks. So we really need to generate this. That's why we're using U to indicate these off-grid blocks. So we really need to generate first and second moments of these off-grid blocks from those ungrid ones. Let's just assume that we know the moments of this reference block, then we can run our update recursion as such. With probability 1 minus p, we have the packet which contains the residue, only the residue and the motion vector. So we have the residue which is exactly the same as the encoder, but the reference itself is unknown because due to the prior packet losses and error propagation. And with probability p, we have the concealment. The same thing for second moment. Now, let's consider how to generate this first and second moments of the of the off-grid blocks. So let's consider in general a reference block U, which is the red one, which is off-grid, and all the blue blocks are on-grid blocks. So in order to generate a 4x4 reference block, the encoder needs to reference up to 9 on-grid blocks due to the 6-type FR filter used to used for the interpolation in the HL264. Since the transformation which is typically DCT is a linear transformation, there exists a set of constants such that we have the transform coefficients of the off-grid blocks. Off-grid block is really a linear combination of those of on-grid blocks. And then we have the first moment of U to be a linear combination of the non on-grid blocks, which is exactly which is accurately tractable. But for the second moment, it seems like we're getting into these cross correlation issues again. We need to generate this cross correlation, which we don't know. But the major advantage that we're doing everything in the transform domain is that the spatial transform itself has already largely removed the correlation the correlation between transform coefficients. So specifically, we treat this cross correlation into two categories. For the first one, two transform coefficients of different frequency but within the same block. They are always contained in the same packet, so they arrived either simultaneously or lost together. So we use X sub R to represent the decoder reconstruction when the packet is received, and X sub E, the decoder concealment when the packet is lost. So the first moment of this reconstruction and concealment are really accurately tractable. And the exact cross correlation can be formulated as such. With probability 1 minus p, the packet arrives, and then the decoder will reproduce two reconstructions. And then with probability p, the packet lost, decoder will reproduce, say, will generate two concealments. So this is really the exact cross correlation. But once again, we don't know these two cross correlations. We simply approximate these two by the product of two marginal first moments appealing to the uncorrelatedness in the transform domain. And the second category is for interblock correlation. So recall the energy compaction property of DCT. We say that the interblock correlation is really dominated by that between the DC components, and we just assume it to be unity. And for all other AC coefficients, we just simply compute it as they are uncorrelated. So we know that some more refined models are possible, but our experiments show that such treatment provides fairly accurate estimate for most natural sequences. Here's an overview of the procedures of this update recursion. So given first and second moments of on-grid of transform coefficients of on-grid blocks in frame n minus one, conditioned on the packet arrived or lost, we then update the moments for frame n. So first identify where the reference block is, and then generate this first and second moments of the reference block using a linear combination of the known moments, and then we compute the current moments according to intra or inter mode, or say other coding mode. So here are some estimation accuracy. So we first try in the setting of full pixel, where lobe is known to provide the optimal end-to-end distortion. So in this picture, the black one is our simulation where we average over like 50 to 100 random packet loss realizations. And the blue one is the end-to-end distortion provided by lobe, which is known to be the optimal. And the right one, which, well, can be seen, is the estimate provided by score. We see that in the setting of full pixel, score really practically subsumes to the lobe, which is the optimal one. And then we move on to the subpixel setting, where lobe is where lobe needs some modifications to accommodate such cross correlation. So we use the quasi-Schwarz approximation and the pixel model respectively to generate the variance of lobes of lobe, and the two blue curves are the estimates provided by those two methods. The black one is the simulation across many random packet loss realizations, and the right one is the end-to-end distortion provided by score. So we see that score really provide more accurate end-to-end distortion in the setting of subpixel motion compensated video coding. So in conclusion, we proposed a spectrum coefficient-wise optimal recursive estimate to estimate the end-to-end distortion in the spatial transform domain. A score exploits the decorrelation property of the spatial transform as well as energy compaction property to closely track the cross correlation and provides very accurate estimate of end-to-end distortion in the setting of subpixel. And we also know that score is experimentally shown to subsume within its original lobe functionality. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you, thank you. So we have time for one question.
You mean computational complexity?
Yeah,
so this is a very good question. So the issue is that score really incurs more computational cost compared to lobe. But the thing is, this, let me get back here. So this set of constant coefficient, which is this small a, which is really a spatial location dependent parameter, not all of them are equally important. Usually, the usual case is that for most of them, they are really negligible. The value of them are really negligible. Yeah, exactly. That's, so there exists faster, like fast algorithm to simplify this computational complexity. But in this work, we are mainly focusing on their optimality.
Okay, thanks. Thank you.